Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.
Survive, thrive, stay alive. It's time to get prepared with the Prepping Academy Podcast.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is when you're listening to this podcast. Welcome to the Prepping Academy. I am Forrest. We have Uncle Buck.
Hello, hello.
In the house.
In the yes, house. Sir.
Ooh, I
yes,
like sir. That. And today is going to be amazing. Before we get to that, how was your week? I mean, it's, you know, weekend's over. We record these on Mondays. And so weekend's over. And how was your weekend and your week? And
good, man. Yeah, overall, super productive. So I think I was telling you maybe a couple weeks back, I applied for that Chad Wright, U.S. Navy SEAL. Remember, mm-hmm. He does a program called, I think it's called 3 of 7. But he does it's like a basic course. And then I think it's like an advanced course. And there's some other stuff that goes on. There's 8 spots. I got an email saying I got 1 of the 8. So I am going to be heading to it. I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. It's going to be super intense. I can already anticipate that. So I'm just upping my training and just making sure that I'm physically in good condition before heading out to that thing. But I'm stoked about it. It's going to be three days. They'll send me a package, and then we do like a call before, I think like a week prior, and they send me a package of everything. Here's all the gear to bring, how to dress, all that fun jazz. So they'll do me, but yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. A little bit nervous, but that's a good thing. It's like you're going to be out of my comfort zone, but it's all good. I'm looking forward to it though. It'll be fun, but everything else good, man. I mean, yeah, just going to town.
Yeah, yeah, I was accepted to that too. Hey, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Now, what is it we're accepted to? It doesn't sound fun. It does not sound fun.
It'd be a lot of land nav. I think it's going to be a lot, you know, land nav, a lot of preparedness stuff, some tactical movements, a lot of bushcraft stuff as well. So, I mean, it's right in our wheelhouse, right? Stuff that we do on
yep.
You know, prepper camp and all that fun jazz. But it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was talking about the meetup for Krispy Kreme donut lovers. That's not what you're talking about.
No, that's not it. That's not
okay,
it.
Okay, because they accepted. Event. Okay, they accepted me. We have a big event coming up, and
your VIP, your VIP now.
And I'm trying to prepare for that now as well. So, the weekend. I mean, you said you went ice skating.
Yeah. So that's kinda, took out. We were talking on before we went live here. Yeah, did some ice skating. So that was fun.
That's fun. Always.
Yeah, nice cold, but it was cool. Ran into some ex-Navy guys that I used to work with before. So yeah, it was cool getting to catch up with them.
So that's weird that you run into ex-military Navy guys at the ice skating.
Taking the wives there. That's it. Okay. Taking the wives. It's a good date night or good date day. Mm-hmm.
Well, my family went out of town, so that was, I told you I put my bug out bag, my get home bag, all these bags out, and I was gonna go through, organize, and make sure I have the right stuff in there, make sure everything's good. And I started going through one, and I'm like, it's good. I haven't really touched it. Mm-hmm. And then I pulled the other bag, and I'm like, I know this one's good because I've already prepared it for winter. It's good. And so I'm like, well, what am I going to do now? I was expecting to do a few hours on that. So I've been, I worked on my book. It's getting ready to be released here soon. I worked on that, getting the cover, getting the audio is being made right now. The guy's reading it, recording. I didn't want to do my own voice because I don't know. I'm one of them realistic guys. I don't listen to my voice at all. Do you ever listen to our podcast to see how?
Yep.
See, and I can't do that.
I can't. I don't. I listen to it and I'm like, I don't even like how I sound.
I don't sound. I don't know.
Got to get the guy that did the opener to the show, like have him read the book. He'd just be jazzed up the entire time.
Yeah, that's true. I did go. So I seem to go with a new guy every time, but this guy is pretty good. He's reading it kind of slow. I asked him to speed it up a little bit, but the great thing about audiobooks, it's so easy to jack that up to speed. Mm-hmm. So the way he's reading it, I actually put it in the software so I could jack it up, and it sounds great at like 1.5. I mean, those that speed theirs up, his is going to sound, they're going to love this guy reading it. So he's very clear in his speech. And so he's done the first two chapters or so. He's going to do two a day for the next like 12 days or so. And there's 24. Oh, he's going to do on the weekend. He'll do. Yeah. But anyway, be about a week before he's finished.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Today, you know, I just went through my everyday carry a little bit and switched some things out. Got new chapstick.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's it. That's an EDC.
Got new chapstick. That was a big decision. Switched to a new brand.
But anyway, what is your EDC? Like, typically, what do you run with?
I always have a Glock 38. Mm-hmm. I always have a Corumbic knife.
Yep.
Pull out my pocket. It self deploys. I have a flashlight, chapstick, my cell phone. And then depending on what I'm wearing, I have a belt that I'm like people can watch me, but my belt is one of my, I call it my spy belts. Mm-hmm. So I can put things with inside the actual belt. It has zippers.
Okay.
But it's a leather belt. It's a good heavy belt. And I have like handcuff key, water purification tablets, some all kinds of little stuff in there. If you watch my spy tech video, I go through exactly what's in my belt. And that's it. Yeah, my goal was to start carrying that like a tourniquet, mm-hmm, or some kind of first aid kit, maybe around my ankle, but it's kind of, yep. I got it, but I haven't started wearing it yet, but that's pretty much my thing, my gun, all that. I went through that. Yeah. How about you? What do you carry?
Like typically EC9, right? Like a little Ruger EC9, mm-hmm, or 19 Glock 19. Those are my two go-to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then this similar type items, right? Flashlight in there, not the chapstick. I typically don't carry the chapstick, but
it's important.
But then a small little flip knife as well, something to like to deploy, and then just carry that on one side of my body, the pistol on the other. So, it's a weird world. It's a strange world. It's getting stranger by the day. You gotta be prepared.
And didn't you say you carry about $5,000 in cash?
Yeah. Usually like spread all throughout my body.
Just want people to know that.
That's it. Yeah. It's a giant vest. The dollar bills are sticking out of it.
Oh goodness. Awesome. Awesome, dude. So, you text me, we were like, what are we going to talk about? And man, one of the biggest things everyone's talking about, I saw like five podcasts or five YouTube videos today on it about food and the shortages.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. So like what kind of triggered me on this whole thing is we're at the local grocery store and they were limiting you buying one dozen eggs. That was it. I mean, it was like, it was pretty sparse and they were limiting you to buy one because of the avian flu or bird flu or whatever's killing off a lot of these chickens. So now they've restricted that and you could only buy a dozen eggs at a time. And the, Yeah, it's just getting super weird. And I follow and connected with some friends out in Chicago area, and they're like, they run in and show pictures of their Aldi, and it's just like shelves with a handful of items on it. And it's super weird. I just wanted to like start bringing up the food aspects of it, and like, what are some good foods to prep for, right? Cause not everybody has the money to go, you know, drop $1,200 or $1,000 on freeze dried food. But if they have $20 or something like that, what could they run with the grocery store while it's still there and just keep it, you know, canned goods, anything like that, grains, what would be some good ideas? So that's really where it came from. And then like bigger picture, I started going in and, the one thing that was killing me was the, I think it was NIH or Health and Human Services. They came out with the updated food pyramid, right? Remember that food pyramid?
Yes.
They initially came out in the 80s and they're like, eat grains. And then there was this direct correlation between that and obesity. Like it just went straight up.
Yep.
So their track record is not great, but they came out with a new one that effectively it put like, it had like Lucky Charms on there. It had Frosted Flakes. It had
literally says Lucky Charms.
It said, yeah, there was this pyramid, and it had the green, eat a lot of, yellow, eat, you know, moderate amounts. And then red was eat minimal. The last one on the list, the last one on the bottom, I kid you not, was ground beef. It says eat that like very, very sparingly, like no meat. They had, I think they even had powdered eggs above regular eggs. It was super weird.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to, I'll message to you. I'll find it and I'll message to you because it's a trip.
I will have to put the Lucky Charms at the top of the pyramid. I do agree with that because I am five.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It was a lot of processed food though. It was so much processed food. And I mean, a little bit of processed food is not bad, right? I mean, that's my take on it. I got friends that are like strictly whole foods and that's all they'll eat. They don't do any processed foods. They don't even buy it, put it in the house. But,
thought the table was I don't remember any processed foods on the table before.
Mm-mm. I don't remember it either. We'll have to do like a before and after, like where was it?
Cheese and eggs and milk and
they had dairy. They had almond milk, I think, above dairy milk.
Okay, I do like almond milk, especially the sweetened.
With Lucky
Put
Charms.
That in the Lucky Charms. With
yeah. Lucky Charms.
they must have built this thing. No, I was gonna say they must have built it on what I eat, but no meat's at the top for me. So
yeah, agreed. But it got me like thinking about all of the. Like, what is going on in the world right now, right? I mean, I looked at the largest landowner right now in the farm landowner right now in the U.S. is Bill Gates. So not sure what he's doing. I mean, a lot of folks have a lot of speculation on what he's doing, but I don't know. Can't confirm it. But then you start looking at some of the top exporters out there of food producers, particularly wheat, right? I was just looking at who produces all the wheat, right? A lot of it comes from the top five are number one is Russia in a war, the EU, close to being in a war. Australia has gone completely bonkers. The US, we're not far behind. And then number five is Ukraine. Yeah, it's crazy. Small little country. Well, sizable geographically, but like not a country you'd think of that produces and exports this much grain. So like all that stuff, there's downstream impacts on the supply chain, right? There's when issues happen, such as a war, it's going to definitely impact the supply chain downstream. It's just a matter of time. The other thing that was going on was on the Netherlands. I don't know if you paid attention to anything going on in the Netherlands with the farmers and they're actively protesting.
Yeah. Yep.
So the government's trying to shut them down, reduce their emissions. It's all about this ESG, environmental, social governance. ESG consequently is the same country that had ESG. you score, I think of about a 97, 98, was something ridiculous high with Sri Lanka. And Sri Lanka over the summer, if you recall that, and a lot of folks probably will recall it, the people revolted. They were having to ration gas. They were having to ration food. There were all kinds of crazy stuff. The people rioted. The Sri Lankan native folks rioted, started pulling out politicians from their homes, beating the crap out of them. Ultimately, the government just flatlined. I mean, they went up in smoke. The prime minister or the president, I can't remember what it was called there, ended up seeing videos of him fleeing. He had to like flee to get to, and then he ended up going to another country and had to resign his leadership role via email. So it's incredibly crazy, but that was the poster child for this all ESG that's going on. And you saw the downstream impact there from fuel and for food. It was just, I'm like, when is this going to just start trickling down here to us, to Canada, to the US?
So if you look, the last 2 years have not been good years for farmers and growing food. If you remember the last two and a half years, China's had major flooding.
Mm-hmm.
You may, in the most fertile part of China, which is down near that dam that everybody says is going to break, and it's hadn't broke yet. It's the world's largest dam,
mm-hmm.
and major flooding. And which destroyed a lot of their crops. So then they started actually buying wheat and grain from everyone else, more than they've ever bought before. And now Russia has kind of limited their exports. China is still having problems with their backlog and their grains. And then Ukraine, there's not going to be any exports from Ukraine this year. You can't imagine anything. They're in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's major food issues that are coming our way. And it's already here, but as soon as there's a run on it, it will destroy our supply chain.
100%. 100%.
It hasn't been a run yet. There's a run on eggs, I guess, now. Someone said they're over $5 a dozen, and that's just,
it's ridiculous. Bacon's through the roof now. The other, there's another product too. It's drawn a blank now, but that impact is, it's pretty severe, right? Cause mm-hmm. you're starting at the source, and if things aren't, there's only so much stores that you have. Like what I mean by stores is just your backup, your reserves. And once that runs out, you're kind of, you got to be a lot more self-reliant, or we'll talk about some of the ways that you can store up for this in case there is a downside coming here. The other piece that I've noticed too, is when we start buying stuff like produce, I don't know if you noticed this at all, and I've heard it from some other folks, I think on maybe Zello, when we were doing the Zello night, is when you're buying fresh produce, it goes bad fast. Have you noticed that? Like it goes back like really fast.
I don't buy produce.
Lucky Charms and all the milk.
Well, hey, my wife does the shopping. So she just does, because if she takes me to the grocery store, we buy more. So she prefers to go by herself. So, sorry. I'm not being a sexist here. She just doesn't want me to go with her.
All right.
Because I get the Lucky Charms.
The stuff she doesn't want you to eat.
Right. Hey, let's take a quick break.
Has your data been hacked? Do you feel uneasy about the vulnerability of your personal information online? Were you involved in the Target, LinkedIn, or Microsoft data leaks? Don't know? If not, then pay attention. Join Forrest Garvin from PrepperNet for a free webinar on privacy and security. Gain insights into safe internet browsing, VPNs, crafting online aliases, secure emails, detecting if your data has been hacked, and managing passwords. Secure your spot today for this webinar on privacy and security. It's free. This webinar delves into comprehensive strategies for bolstering your online privacy. We've got you covered. from fortifying your passwords to shielding your financial information and mastering state-of-the-art encryption techniques. We're offering two convenient dates to suit your schedule. Reserve your spot now at PrepperNet.com/privacy. Don't let cyber threats erode your peace of mind any longer. Take the first step toward a safer, more secure online experience by joining us for our free webinar. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to safeguarding your privacy. Sign up now at PrepperNet.com/privacy. We'll see you there.
But so I haven't noticed. That's my point there.
Yeah,
I will say this. We're not in trouble until Budweiser.
Jim Beam and Budweiser runs out.
Jim Beam and Budweiser is hard to get, that's when we're screwed.
Mm-hmm. But some of the foods that, you know, I was looking through and thinking, all right, well, where are some foods that you can go purchase now, right? From a protein, looking at macronutrients, mm-hmm. by protein, carbs, and fats. And then of course your fluids as well, right? Your water, your juices. And I keep seeing different things on here. Maybe you can shed some light on it. You know, canned meat, right? Canned chicken, canned mm-hmm. tuna, stuff that's readily available. Peanut butter is a really good one that doesn't go bad for a long period of time. It's got a lot of good unsaturated fat, good protein. And then beans, any kind of kidney beans, lentils, and then nuts as well are really good protein sources. I've seen jerky on a lot of mm-hmm. recommendations as well, because that's holds for a very long time, and it's a good source of protein. But what I've seen anywhere from 3 to 5 years, and then right. I've seen 20 years. Everybody is approaching it a little bit differently. But what's the magic number? If you buy it today, will it last for what, 3 years, 5 years, 20 years?
It depends, but I'll say this. I consider myself a long-term food storage expert. Absolutely. So one of the things I do is consult with groups, and we put together food plans for people and what they need to buy and what they need to store and all this, and, you know, and the Mylar bags and all that kind of stuff. So I consider myself a expert. It may be just me, but I always start out with calories. So I am assuming when the grid goes down, I'm going to eat somewhere around 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day. A lot of people will go, a man's only supposed to eat 1,500 to, you know, 2,000. But when the grid goes down, you're going to be doing a lot more work, mm-hmm. a lot more work than you're doing now. And, So I would always rather overestimate than underestimate. I don't want to run out of food, but so I count from about usually around 3,000 to 4,000 food for a male. And then you multiply 4,000 calories a day for a year. That's roughly 1.5 million calories you need. Okay. Now, if you're going to do around 3,000 calories, it's going to be roughly 1 million. It's actually 1,094,000. I mean, but just to give you some, so you need to start from there. So the question I would ask most people, how much food do you need? How much food do you want? Another way you shouldn't ask it, because people get offended, is how long do you want to live?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a legitimate question. How long you want to live? And they go forever. I'm like, well, let's just go for a year, because I'm tend to think that if a real grid down happens, you're going to need 3 years of food.
And this, are you assuming no hunting? You're assuming no hunting, no gardening, none of that stuff, just
right.
a stockpile of food.
And you know, it's in my book, and I've talked this over with what I call true experts. 95% of the people that you listen to and you watch on YouTube, they have no clue. You got to go to people like Selco, these people that have lived in totally grid down areas for a long period of time. So the first year you hide, if you don't hide, you die. Mm-hmm. You hide or die. The second year you come out and you start growing your garden, and you may do great, you may screw up. So you got to have, now we're at 2 years of food. Then the third year, you're hoping you're getting better. And then you can supplement some of the new food that you got. You can maybe capture some animals. You know, when you talk about meat, go back to the 20s. The deer population was, 80% of the deer population was gone in 6 months. And it wouldn't even grid down. Mm-hmm. We're still, moving deer and putting elk in the North Carolina mountains because everybody ate them all. So everyone and their brother's going to become a hunter. So you got to have your own food. And as soon as you kill a deer, let's say you're 30 days after the grid goes down, you kill a deer out in the woods, you're going to have five or six people tracking you down going, "Hey, what's going on? What did you shoot?" They're coming, they're bringing their gun, and now you got to share your food or be in an altercation with them. So I don't put a lot of bets on finding food for hunting, because when I go to Miami Beach, Florida, which is where my retreat is, and I shoot something, I'm using literally probably a 300 blackout or something with the suppressor on it, so no one hears me.
And what, go ahead.
No, and so I'm going to have to, 300 blackout, or I think we have a couple of long guns that can, but you can't suppress them too much because it needs that power. And so, but that's why I'm raising rabbits. Rabbit is the miracle food. We got our food we put aside, and we're going to raise rabbits. Guess where the rabbits are going to live? Inside with us until
in Miami.
In Miami, we got places for it inside. They'll be producing, and you just, if someone stumbles on your property and sees rabbits and they run, you're screwed. They're going to go tell everyone. You can't afford to take that risk. But we'll get in. So what do you think? I mean, you agree with what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you got a lot more experience on this than I do. So, and you've been doing it longer. One question that came up is when that year one, mm-hmm. assuming grid goes down and you go to hide in Miami, is the property is it underground? Is it above ground? Is it camouflaged? Is it just a compound somewhere? Like what is that? I mean, what is that even, what do you recommend? Above ground, below ground, moving around?
I recommend, I don't like the below ground depression. Other things happen when you're below ground, like depression, and you've got to be amongst the property, but you have to have the property secure that you know if eyes are watching. And there's ways to do that electronically, even after the grid goes down. So the people, just imagine, I'm not, my group, again, we've been together for 21 years, but money is huge in this. And I hate saying that. It just is. Mm-hmm. There are people that have properties that they have cameras in Faraday cages in case the EMP goes off. They can just go and swap all the cameras out and be back up and running. We don't have that kind of, a system, but you just got to have eyes on everything you're doing from your own group to see what's going on and know what's going on around you. Below ground just kind of bothers me. There's ventilation, there's space limitations there. And so we're above ground, but we just, when we pull the sand over the top as we go under the ocean. No. No, but you just got to be in a very, you can handle a group of 20 people coming up to your retreat. You can't handle a group of 300. That's why you got to be far away from population. Now, my friend Jonathan Holloman's writing a book. It's getting ready to come out in the next couple of weeks. He says if you can see people from your retreat, you're screwed. He goes, you've got to be, in the middle of nowhere. Everyone can't achieve that. He also kind of slammed people that, and, you know, it made me mad, but he's so true. It was so truthful. He goes, there's no such thing as called an urban prepper. You can't require enough stuff. You're not going to survive in the towns. You don't have the skills to do that. Rambo does. and people that will just snap people's necks off and they don't care, but ordinary people, they just don't have the skills to live in a city. Hey, let's take a quick break.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
After the stuff hits a fan.
All heck breaks loose.
So on that, you know, taking a look at some of these items, and this is what, you know, we focus on a lot of canned stuff, peanut butter, canned tuna, canned chicken, canned peaches, beans, a lot of dry beans too, dry goods, dry rice. And then just put those in 5 gallon buckets, with the oxygen absorbers. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the items that we take care of. And then, you know, some freeze dried food as well, to supplement that. But freeze dried food, I mean, it's expensive. I've eaten MREs before too, like eating those long periods of time is just, it'll mess your gut up pretty good.
You need Beano and X-Lax.
Exactly. It is not great.
Yeah. So here's what I do. First of all, everyone should have, I would say, 3 months of pantry. Just work on doubling, tripling your pantry. So if your kids eat bow ties, have three to four months of bow ties. You want to live, when the crap hits the fans, you want normal things for your family as much as you can eat. And why not just save it and prepare it? That's just your pantry, everything you eat, except, you know. But then we go into 6 months worth of freeze dried per person. Because once you leave the good stuff, you know, the spaghetti, I mean, you can have a jar of spaghetti and some bow ties. I mean, that's a good meal for many months. And then you do different things like chicken in a can and pasta with some Italian sauce. I mean, these are basic cheap meals because that spaghetti sauce lasts for a long time in a jar. And then so you just think of 3 months of just eating normal food. Then you go into 6 months of freeze dried. Freeze dried is almost normal, but it's not. It tastes good, but it's just different. And so that's why then you go. So now you're at 9 months buying 6 months worth of freeze dried for everyone. And you got 3 months of your pantry. And then you get into some of the things you're talking about is your grains, your rice. Some sites say get wheat. We don't use wheat now. We're not going to make,
bread. Yeah.
We need to, but that's just not our thing. We don't make bread now. Why are we going to make it then? You know what I mean? Get some beans, get a lot of canned tuna and just start storing things. And all of a sudden there's a site, you can get a year's worth of, a food for a year for one person is like $1,000. That's salt. That's beans. That's rice. That is
oil. It's a good deal. That's a really good deal.
Well, you put it together yourself. It tells you to buy, you know, 300 pounds of rice. That's a lot of rice. 300 pounds of rice is what, 25 times, you mean, $150. And then you get, you know, get some, you know, some sugar, put it in a bucket, freeze dried, a Mylar bag in a bucket with oxygen absorber, seal it up, some salt, some vegetable, which doesn't store very long. And you start just storing this stuff for a year. You can get enough food for a year for one person. You know, some lentils. They have a thing now. Oh, let's see if I have my notes from. It's a new potato.
Mm-mm. Never heard of it.
This is a new potato, and there's a name for it. It is called. I may have. But it's a brand new potato that can absolutely multiply very good. It's very nutritious. I forgot the actual name of the potato. They're very good. And they can, they start out as seeds. Most potatoes, you actually have to cut off the eye, let it grow, and then you plant that. These can grow from the seeds, and it's like a...
I've seen these. I'm drawing a blank on the name. I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah, I can't find it now, but get some of the seeds for the potatoes, because you get a bale of hay and you can grow potatoes, a lot of potatoes. So my plan for our group is everyone has food at their house. We got normal food for 3 months. We got freeze-dried food. Then we got all the grains and things. The beans, rice, lentils, but then you got to have, we're going to be growing rabbits on our retreat. Rabbits are easy. They do what they're made to do and they multiply. Then you got to have seeds that will store so you can start growing. We don't have a garden on our retreat currently. We could, we've got lots of land to do it on. We don't want anyone to see, if they stumble or look at Google Earth, see that we have a garden. We want people to go, there's nothing going on up there. That's just an abandoned, you know, place right there next to Daytona Beach or Miami, wherever it is. There's no resources there. And they're looking today. Just know this. So there's an area in North Carolina in the mountains. It's Asheville. A lot of homesteaders. Mm-hmm. You know what a homesteader is? Mm-hmm. That has animals. That's tomorrow's supermarket. So when Asheville gets hungry, they're going to go from one homesteader and kill all their animals to the next homesteaders and kill their animals. And they're just going to make their way from one supermarket to the other supermarket. Because if you think you're a homesteader and you've got cows, everyone knows you have cows, you got chickens running around your yard, you got pigs in the back, and people know that. All your neighbors know that. And when they get hungry, they're going to go, okay, guys, there's a house right on the corner down there. It's about a half mile. I know they got like 30 cows. I've seen them. You know, let's get everybody together. Oh, we got what? There's 54 people. Let's go. They're gonna die trying to preserve their food on their own land. That's gonna be sad.
Wow.
Tomorrow's supermarket. And that's why we refuse to show any activity on our site whatsoever. And especially so the rabbits and the chickens we're taking with us. There are actually some there, but they're inside of a horse stable, so no one knows that from cameras or anything like that from Google Earth.
Yeah, but so no clearing of land, anything like that was ever done?
Oh, there's clearing of land, absolutely. We could we could land a plane in there.
Okay.
And a helicopter. If you know the story, the last guy we recruited is a helicopter pilot and has two in his front yard.
He's part of the team in Miami.
Yes, I got to get down there fast. You know, we got so many plans for that. The first of it was to come get you know, the families. But now there's so many other things that has to be done. We're just on our own to get there. He's got things to do. So he has a, his work is he flies a helicopter and parks it in the sky so people can work on equipment or towers or cables. But he's also got an EMP-proof 1964 Huey that is totally EMP-proof that can go and do whatever. So he don't own them, but he just works for the company.
Yeah, I've seen the EMP-proof, what is it, the year before, like 1984 or something like that, or 1986, like the Broncos, the Ford Broncos.
Mm-hmm. And so anyway, but that's way too much information. I'm going to have to kill you if I say any more.
Well, so then recommendations, right? Because there's some canned goods, there's some rice. I mean, a lot of this is how you store it, but the what is the duration of this before it starts going bad? Because like the stuff I read, it's all over the it's 3 years, 2-3 years, it's 5 years, it could last 20-25 years. It's mm-hmm. kind of all over the show. What is it by category, or like what are you seeing, or what have you experienced?
Are you talking about the food, how long it lasts?
Yeah, like canned goods. Like if you just buy canned goods right now, like how long would that legitimately last?
So we rotate that. I mean, you do spaghetti. I'm sure your kids love bow ties or pasta. We just put that in a rotation. And now you can take the bow ties, put them in a, and there's no need to do this in a, it destroys the Mylar bag too. A lot of people don't know, but put it in the Mylar bag, put some, you know, some, what do you call them?
The oxygen.
Oxygen absorbers in there mm-hmm. and seal it up. But a lot of times we notice that when we put like bow ties or whatever noodles, it sometimes it makes the bag, it can compromise the bag because it sometimes it sucks the air out. We put it too tight in there, but it can last longer. But, you know, could a noodle last a year? Absolutely. Just out on a shelf, pasta could last a year.
Okay.
So, and all that canned food, if you just recycle it and, you know, especially the meat, we love the canned meat. We love canned chicken. We don't do Spam. Is it Spam and potted meat and devil's meat, all that? We don't do that, but we do have canned chicken, canned turkey, and we love that. And mixing that with some of your freeze-dried food, because a lot of freeze-dried food don't come with meat and chicken in it. And then we do have a lot of freeze-dried meat and chicken, but we've started canning. We haven't canned meat yet, but we've canned green beans, all kinds of green beans, corn, not corn, carrots. We've canned a lot of different things. We need to can meat though.
Is there someone within PrepperNet that's like the canning kind of guru that they're just
we have so many people. Oh yeah, we have so many people that can do that. It's crazy. So, you know, at our PrepperNet meetings, we have some of the, we have experts in every field. So you can go to Raleigh and there's 5-10 experts in canning. So canning is the great thing about that. And within the PrepperNet network and all the meetings, if you go to one of our meetings, there's 5-10 experts on just about any subject matter you want. I mean, if you want to talk about guns, I mean, we in the Charlotte group, we probably have 20 experts. You're talking about canning food, essential oils, you know, raising chickens. That's why people need to get involved so they can learn about all this. You know, come to a PrepperNet meeting near you. I mean, we got 100 cities that we're in, and there's meetings going on all the time. But I would say in Charlotte, we had a lady named Elemental. We have Amber. We have Beth cans a lot. I do canning, so we have a ton of people that do canning. And it's easy, but if it's done wrong, you can die. But very. I mean,
it'll explode, right?
We always say that, but I've never heard anybody dying from it. So
just because the pressure.
That guy. Yeah, I'd be that guy. You know,
that's interesting. It's. Yeah, it's like the more I learn, man, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much more to learn. Like,
but here's another incredible thing. It's not just the food. You got to have food with freeze dried food grains, beans, and rice, man, you have to have water, tons of water. Because, you know, when you put the freeze dried in there, you put water and it just soaks it up. That's what it does. It rehydrates it. And so two things you need is water. So you got to store water. It's very easy to store. You can get, just make sure you get food grade 50 gallon barrels of water, or and just a little Clorox. Put a little Clorox in there, and it
will, or the keep pool it, shock.
The pool shock or Clorox, mm-hmm. it'll keep it clean. And then if you have a pond or a lake, you gotta learn how to filter the water, but water is key.
Do you treat with pool shock or before you seal it up, or do you treat it after, or both?
But you do it before.
Okay.
Absolutely. Do it before
you seal it up.
It will kill all the, you know, whatever, you know, that's floating in there. And you can do it after as well.
Okay.
And so we have a filtering system. We don't assume that the water is 100% clean. So we also will purify it as well, either going through a filter or maybe boiling it. And so that's another thing. So the last thing, let's say the grid's down 3 months out and you're hungry and you want to eat, you can go out in your backyard and take some logs and put on a fire and build a fire so you can boil water. No, that's a calling signal.
Signal. Yeah. You're going to signal
to everyone. Mm-hmm. So what you do, the couple ways you can do that is take like alcohol and use it like an alcohol stove because it's very clean. But I don't even recommend that. I recommend getting an all-American sun oven.
Oh.
And put it in the sun. Let the sun cook your food. It's perfect. You can do bread and all that, but a sun oven, or get some kind of very clean, like a propane stove as well, or natural gas. If you're natural gas, it would probably be working for a while, but you've got to heat the water up, and just eating cold food all the time will just get just crazy. So you got to heat it up. So a good way to do that is propane. I wouldn't recommend, you know, building fires, because everyone in the world's going to know, they're going to look for you. They know if you got fire, you got something going on.
Okay. Goodness, man, that's a lot. So yeah, we jump from supply chain to how to store a bunch of food here. No, this is awesome. The is there any websites that you'd recommend to, like, for folks that would just want to go on there and say, here's a, you mentioned that one, it was like 1 year of food, but any other websites that would recommend, here's some items that you should start getting at the grocery store now while they're still here.
Mm-hmm. So there is a book, and I think it's put out by the LDS. I don't know the name of the book. I see that Beth is getting ready to text me the name of the book because I can see her in the green room. But it's an amazing book, and it's one of the best books you can buy. So the Mormons have been being, you know, preparedness and forever. And they have literally almost, it's called the, oh yeah, it's the LDS Food Storage Manual. Thank you in the green breath. And it's an amazing book, and it has all the information, what you need to store, the calculators you need and everything. And it's a good start. I would say for people starting out, though, just take your pantry and double it, then triple it. And I mean, because that will take care of 90% of all disasters. If your power goes out for a month, you still have food. Now all you need is a way to get water and cook it.
Okay.
And so I would get one of them 500-gallon totes. Have you seen them?
Like, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. That's it's almost caged in metal, almost around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then keep buying Lucky Charms, and just pour. And that's all you need is just pour it in there, and get Betsy, your little cow, and you're good to go.
Rainwater. I mean, would you capture rainwater for sure?
Absolutely, yes. But you have to filter rainwater. I mean, But what happens with rainwater, usually if it goes on like an asphalt type of roof, there's pollutants in there you got to get out. There's bird crap. Imagine, even if it's a tin roof, birds poop all over the tin. The water washes it down into your rainwater. So treat that like pond water.
Okay.
You got to treat it like it's not, now you can use that for your garden or whatever, really safe, but you just got to treat that is not clean water to drink until you go in there and do some stuff with it. So, and then you got to have water filters, Sawyer, Lifestraw, Berkey's. I mean, there's a ton of different types of water filters.
There's one I just picked up. It was called the Survival Water Filter. Super slick, and it had the pump to it, right? So you could drop the hose down if you were high up and you needed to really drop a hose down. You can drop there and just pump the water right up. And that thing was great. I mean, I had the kids using it in the whole nine, and it was awesome.
I would say make sure you also get a family one, because you could buy a Lifestraw and everybody thinks they're good, but the only way you can get water out of one of them $19 Lifestraws, if you literally got to suck the water out and then spit it in a cup.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to cook with it, I don't like that way. So you got to make sure you can filter the water without having to suck it through it. So it can go and it can be clean. It doesn't go through your mouth or whatever. So get kind of like a family style water filter.
There's one called, we used it when we were in Georgia, the wild man, my mentally challenged friend that was out there. he brought, I think it was called a platypus, but I think it was 3 or 4 liters. Yeah, and essentially you get where the water goes in and then it filters out and goes to the clean bag. Essentially, it looks like a giant IV bag. I mean, that's what it looks like. And you just hang it in the tree.
Yep.
And it's gravity fed and just kind of works through. And then you got clean water in, I think, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, somewhere around there.
I remembered your friend. He wore the shortest shorts I think I've ever seen in my life.
For Ranger panties. They were called Ranger panties.
Oh, yeah. But also, here's the thing. Make sure in your food preparedness, take hard candy. Take anything sweet, hard candy. Hard candy will last decades. And store it with your food and have little treats. I mean, because, so every one of our buckets that we have that's stored with sugar or salt or powdered peanut butter, powdered butter, powdered eggs. On the top, we take candy. If it's butterscotch or cinnamon, and we just throw them on the top, like handfuls of it.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when you open that, you go, oh, yeah. And then you can treat everybody with some candy because, you need some things that's going to, lift morale, as you're eating this stuff. Because some of this stuff will get to you. If you don't have Beano and you don't have Pepto-Bismol and you don't have just trust me, that stuff comes very important.
Yep. Yeah. And the MREs, I think I remember eating them in the Navy. We had them and it's designed to kind of like stop you up, right? So you can kind of just keep going and keep going and keep going. You don't need to take a break. So you just eat and eat and eat. And you're like, oh my God, I feel awful now. this is not fun.
I haven't pooped in 5 days.
This is horrendous. Well, this is great. This is great. Yeah. We'll post the LDS food storage manual, on the show notes as well. So take a look at that for folks that are listening. And then there's a couple other articles too that we'll post out there that just kind of gives you a good idea on a quick read on some items that you can still get at the grocery store. I mean, while you still can, that you could have within your pantry just to double up on that last for a period of years.
Yeah. So the perfect plan is food you eat now, some freeze-dried food, some grains, and then a way to grow it in the future. You just put that together. how long do you want to survive? I mean, how long do you think you'll need? I mean, if you think you only need 6 months, hey, just spread that out. And it's not rocket science. I mean, everyone, the great thing about what we're talking about, everyone listening to this eats. Mm-hmm. And they've been eating for a while. They're very experienced at eating. So guess what? Just use your knowledge you have now. Go out there with some websites. You can you know, see some ideas that people have. But it's food. Here's the thing. And I mean this in the nicest, kindest way. You have life insurance, you have house insurance, you have car insurance, you have health insurance. The thing that can kill you the fastest is not having food and water. So why don't you have food and water insurance? You can buy that. You can have it within your hands. I mean, that's way smarter than having house insurance. You know that 99.9% of people's houses, they never burn down. But small disasters will happen. You need that food. I'll take this to the Bible. The Bible says, if a man can't take care of his family, he's worse than the unbeliever. So the Bible has a ton of parables about, hey, even the ant stores up food. I mean, it has all these different things, you know, about, we got to get out of this just-in-time system that we go to the supermarket every week for the food for the next week. You got to get out of that. So your goal is to go every month to get food for the next month and then food for the next month. You've got to make your stretches longer and longer apart. And that is, I mean, that's wisdom from the Bible. That's just wisdom that, you know, we should know that. I mean, just everyone should just have that urge to see what's going on. If the bird flu comes around right now and wipes out every bird, we won't have eggs. So get some powdered eggs. Powdered eggs are literally exactly like an egg, especially the freeze-dried ones. And so, but anyway.
No, this is good. We got to get into a full episode on scenarios, right? Like, we talk about this, everything we've talked about is like grid down. But some of the other, and we don't need to talk about it now, but I think this next episode,
we start breaking.
Yeah. Yeah. something, right. Something small. Like we just had Northeast had a winter storm, right? Mm-hmm. Last winter, DC had folks stranded on the highway on I-95 for 19 hours. Nobody could get to them because of the snow, right? Those are some small, and people died, right? That people died because of that.
Yep.
They weren't prepared. But then we can start looking at like greater magnitude stuff of like, what are some other scenarios that could play out in a week, a month, a year? I think that would be worth exploring. Cause it doesn't matter who you ask. Everybody has a different opinion on it. Like everybody has a different opinion on what they think will happen next.
But I'm right.
But you're right. Okay.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Lucky Charms.
Well, I will say this, everyone. Hey, make sure you subscribe. Do all that. Follow us. We got some good interviews coming up. We're going to interview one of my friends, Jonathan Hollerman. I want to interview Arthur Bradley, which is a NASA scientist that he protects all the satellites in the sky. We're going to interview one of your friends coming mm-hmm. up. So we got some different shows coming, and just keep tuning in. But what were you going to say? We need to.
That was it, man. I think we'll pray us out. Or you want me to pray us out, or you want to do it?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. All right, Father, thank you very much for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. It's certainly a strange and unusual world we live in today. Mm-hmm. Please guide us on the path of prosperity and protection and taking care of our fellow man, our fellow neighbor, and our family. Thank you for the guidance, in everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, and I would also challenge before we get the music going, Matthew 24, read that in the Bible. That's what's coming. Matthew 24. Hey man, have a good week.
You as well, man. You as well. Enjoy those Lucky Charms.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta go. Thanks get for some. Listening to the Prepping Academy podcast. Preppers unite at www.preppingacademy.com.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.